Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
So we are walking through the book of Daniel, looking at it from the understanding of discipleship. This is 2026. My emphasis throughout has been for us to grow our discipleship, to really expand our understanding of who Christ is. And how does that apply to my life? How should I live in light of my belief in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And so all through the year, that's what we've been looking at. And through Daniel, we're really focused in on that. And I think that Daniel chapter 6, right, it's kind of that epitome of what it looks like to be a faithful follower of the one true God. In Daniel chapter 6, we see this, essentially this hard question of what happens when faithfulness becomes costly. We saw a couple weeks ago the fiery furnace, right? The statue of Nebuchadnezzar and his edict to anytime the music's played to bow down and worship the statue. And anyone who didn't would be thrown into a fiery furnace, right? It's a pretty serious punishment. And then we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse, and they were thrown in. And God rescued them. He was with them in the fire and rescued them from that. And that was a great witness to King Nebuchadnezzar at the time. Today, this is a story that kind of connects with that in regards to Daniel's own personal costliness for making his faith the priority, for continuing to worship the one true God despite the consequences that might occur. And by the time we reach chapter 6, Daniel is not a young man, right? He's in his 80s. And Babylon has fallen as it was when Nebuchadnezzar was in charge, and now a new empire is in power. But one thing has remained incredibly consistent throughout it all. It is Daniel. He has been faithful to the one true God. And that's probably the most impressive thing about him, right? And today's story is one of the most noted and known stories in Scripture of him in the lion's den. If you went to church at all as a kid, you certainly heard that story. You've probably heard it and seen it in different ways throughout your life, right? You know this story. And it is a great story. It's a powerful story. It's an incredible truth of God's faithfulness to provide, even in the most incredible circumstances. But what Scripture is teaching here, and what God really wants us to notice through all of this, is the faithfulness of Daniel that came before the lion's den. Because the lion's den was one night, a terrible, scary, crazy night. But Daniel's faithfulness has endured for his lifetime. And that's what prepared him for the den of lions. And so that brings us to the thing that I really, if you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this, that faithfulness must be built in private in order to succeed in public. And I think that we can mess this up, right? We try to be faithful in public, and then in private we go, well, I can just kind of do what I want. That's natural. That's what most people do. But to be found faithful as Daniel is, we need to be incredibly faithful in our private life so that the world around us that sees us in public can truly know that it's real. Because what happens to Daniel in the den of lions, it's completely linked to what he has been doing in every ordinary day of life throughout his 80-something years. And so we open Daniel chapter 6, if you want to open it up in the Bible that you might have on your phone, or we'll, of course, have this on the screen, but we also have some Bibles provided in the chairs in front of you. If you need a copy of God's Word, we would love for you to have that as our gift to you, because we want to make sure that everybody has a copy of God's Word. What kind of Bible church would we be if we didn't, you know, say, hey, this is the most important thing, you should have this. So, open up to Daniel chapter 6. We see that Darius, the new king, is reorganizing the kingdom, right? He's appointing these officials, 120 of these officials, and he's putting three administrators that will rule over them. And Daniel, even in his 80s, is one of them. And we see in verse 3, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, I chose to read that in the English Standard Version because I love that part there where it says, because an excellent spirit was in him. Man, that says everything, right? Daniel was faithful, but what made him special was the spirit of God that was in him. And that's true about all of us. Daniel excels in all that he does, better as the people back home would say, better in a country mile than the rest of the people that are in his industry. And Darius notices this, right? And he's considering putting him in charge of everything. And so you can imagine, if you've ever experienced this in your own workplace or maybe at school and some type of responsibility that you have, that brings about something called jealousy. And the other officials, the other administrators, they become insanely jealous. And they begin to really look for ways that they can discredit Daniel, something that they can use against him so that he doesn't get this high honor. And look what verse 4 says, though. They couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Let me tell you something. If you want to have success in a job, I tell all of my kids this. Make that the thing that people talk about you, right? You may not be the smartest, you may not be the most skilled, but if you are always faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy, you will always be employed, right? Because that is so rare. And man, I hope that when someone presides over my funeral at the end of this journey, whatever it is, that can be said about me. And what about you? All of the accolades, all of the trophies, all of the things that we might do in life, nothing is more impressive than if at the end of it all, this can be said about us. Because here's the reason. I obviously just said it. I want people to read their Bibles. I want people to know the Word of God. I want people to understand God and who He is in a powerful way. But most people don't. But what most people will see is you. And my prayer is that the Bible that people do read when they're looking at you reflects back perfectly to what God has called us to. Because again, most people aren't going to crack the pages of Scripture, and if they do, they're not going to understand it, but they do understand how you behave and how you act and how you talk. So may we be the best Bible we can be when people see us in the world. May they see that we're faithful, responsible, and trustworthy. That's what Daniel's enemies saw in him. And they realize very quickly, verse 5, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. I mean, listen, sometimes Christ followers, Christians, we are criticized because sometimes we can be rude, careless, dishonest, we can be mean, grumpy, difficult. That I don't want us to be defined by, right? But if our definition, and people look at us and the only thing that they can try to get in on us is the disagreements they have with what we believe, Okay, I'll take that every day, right? Daniel gives us this model, and that should be our goal. That when the world tries to hold us down or tries to get at us for anything, the only thing they can say is that, man, that person sure acts like Jesus everywhere that they go. And if that's the criticism, bring it on. That's what you that should be our goal. Whether we're at work, right? Be the employee that people know that they can trust. At school, and be the person that the kids know, that your friends know, that will always keep their word. In business, right? If you're leading a business, make honesty more important than profit. Whatever it is that you do, right? At home, make sure that your private life is the same as your public life. Don't just appear to be spiritual. Be dependable. Be real. Be authentic. But Daniel's also teaching us something else here. It's the understanding that doing the right thing does not guarantee that everybody's going to like you. And listen, as someone who really, really wants everybody to like me, there has to be a line that is drawn that says, look, I want people to like me, to think a lot about me, but I'm not going to do this. I'm not crossing this line for anything. And when you do that, creating that standard of excellence, it's going to bring about an admiration that people have for you because they know where you stand. And that matters. It might create jealousy, of course, right? Because you're going to be moved forward. You're going to, your faithfulness and all of that, your dependability, it's going to move you forward. And so it's going to create jealousy. What Daniel realizes is that you can do everything right and you're still going to face opposition. Faithfulness is not a strategy for avoiding difficult things in life, okay? Make sure we understand that. Faithfulness is obedience, whether difficulty comes or not. It's an attitude. It's a determination. And so for these men who are trying to attack Daniel, to try to discredit him, to try to bring him down, they realize very quickly that they've got nothing on him, so they have to change their strategy to try to bring down the king, to try to trick the king into doing something that might discredit Daniel. And so look what happens in verse 6. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. Now, this is very clever, and it's it was a lie, right? Because all of the administrators were not in agreement on this, right? Obviously, Daniel had been left out of the decisions and the bringing it to the king. I mean, he wouldn't have been standing there going, I think this is a great idea. That's not what happened, right? They were falsely saying that this was, that they were all in agreement, which leads to a very big problem for Daniel, right? They construct this law specifically so that Daniel has to choose between obedience to God and obedience to the king. And then the king signs off on it, making it a law that cannot be revoked. And Daniel has a decision to make. A decision that honestly, maybe not involving the lion's den, but something that is, we have to face every day, right? He has to decide, right? It's only 30 days. I can fake it for 30 days. God knows my heart. He knows what I really believe. I can pray quietly. I can postpone my public prayers for a month. I'm in a strategic position. I've been given a high authority, a high responsibility. What I do is very, very important. Surely God wants to protect my influence. And so, you know, making this small concession for a month, it's not going to hurt anybody. You ever had those conversations with yourself where you know what you should do, but you bring about a lot of justifications to why you want to do the thing you want to do and why it's okay to do the thing that you want to do. It may not be that big of a deal. No one will notice. Nobody's going to get hurt. But what really suffers is your obedience to God, your faithfulness to him. That's what matters. That's what Daniel's having to do, right? He doesn't care that everyone else is doing it, that it's just a small concession. It's just, you know, this one time. None of that matters to him. Because small decisions matter. Small compromises lead to bigger compromises. Until you're so far down the road, you don't have any idea how you got there. And you're so far away from what you truly believe, you've abandoned that. Notice also here in verse 10 that Daniel didn't start praying because he was in trouble, right? So again, we know the story. We know that Daniel hears this law and he goes to his room, opens the window. Look in verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its window open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Notice that phrase, just as he had always done. Some of your versions might say as usual. That might be the most important part of this whole story. Is that Daniel doesn't just suddenly become spiritual because of this new crisis, this new law that brought about this horrible thing. He just does what he's always been, what he's always done, right? That's the definition of faithful. The law changed, but Daniel's commitment to his God did not. Again, faithfulness must be built in private in order to succeed in public. He knew what to do because it was what he had always done. It was the discipline and the conviction that he had before there was ever a crisis moment. Prayer for Daniel and prayer for us should not just be an emergency response. Prayer is a way of life. And that matters. If we want courage in the middle of a crisis, we need a relationship with God that stands the test of time before the crisis occurs. If we want scripture to come to mind when temptation hits in front of us, we need to know the scripture beforehand, which means we need to be in the word. If we want to trust God when the suffering comes, truly trust him, not just say it, but to truly allow it to still our hearts, we need to practice trusting him in our ordinary days. Every day. See, Daniel's not trying to create this incredibly dramatic scene. He simply just keeps doing what he's always done. And it's not flashy. It's not exceptional. It is just what he's always done. Steady and mature faithfulness. And there's a small detail there in verse 10 that's quite easy to overlook. He's not simply praying, God, take all this away, fix all of this, make it so that life is back to normal again. Look what he does instead. He's giving thanks to God in the midst of this crisis. That is wild, right? There's a death sentence attached to this prayer, and Daniel is thanking God for who he is and what he has done in his life. Daniel's current circumstances, they don't erase his gratitude. And man, shouldn't we take something from that? That should be challenging to all of us. Because again, we're good at giving thanks when the answer is yes. We're good at giving thanks when things are going our way, when the door opens or the prayers answer or the diagnosis is good or the money doesn't run out, whatever the situation is, we are really good at giving thanks there. But Daniel knows to give thanks even though the other side of the prayer is death. That's faith. Gratitude is one of the clearest ways that we declare that our circumstances are not the determining factor of what we believe. We may not like what's happening. It may not be the way that we'd have chosen it, But we still recognize who God is, that he is the king of all, and that he loves us in the midst of all of it, and he's going to carry us through it one way or the other, whether it's here on earth or on across that great river that we sang about in eternity. It's back to the story. So, of course, Daniel's enemies catch him praying. That was their whole plan to begin with. Of course, that's what's going to happen. They go and tell Darius, and the king immediately recognizes that he has been manipulated. And listen, kings don't like being manipulated. And so he tries to figure out what he can do. Look at verse 14. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. There's nothing he can do, though. He can't do anything, right? The law of the Medes and the Persians was unbreakable. It can't be revoked. And the men come back to him, reminding him of that, which, again, not smart, right? Because he is the king. Do whatever he wants at some point. But they remind him of the law. Look in verse 16. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." Now, again, this is an important moment. Sometimes obedience leads us directly into a difficult situation. That's true throughout Scripture, right? We just studied it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their obedience landed them in a fiery furnace. But before that, right, all the way back to Genesis, Joseph, all the way back in Genesis, he obeyed God and went to prison. He was faithful and found himself in chains. The prophet Jeremiah, he spoke truth, and yet he was rejected over and over and over again. Paul, the apostle Paul in the New Testament, he preached the gospel faithfully, and he was beaten and imprisoned over and over again. The apostles, they followed Jesus, and ultimately all but one would die for their faith. Jesus, God himself, obeyed the Father perfectly, and he was sent to a cross. Faithfulness is not a guarantee that life will be easier, right? If you're here, you're like, that's a bummer. But it's good news. And I'm going to show you why. Because faithfulness is a commitment that God is worth following, even if it means that my life is going to become harder. This is where shallow faith just falls apart. If your relationship with God is simply built on, "God, I will follow you as long as it means my life is going to work out, all the bills are paid, and everything's great," then a lion's den moment is going to destroy that faith. But the faith of Daniel is built on, "God, you are worthy, period." So we see in verse 17 that Daniel's thrown in the lion's den and a stone is placed over the entrance. The king seals it, and from a human perspective, and definitely from the perspective of the administrators, that's it. Daniel's done, problem solved. But King Darius, something is stirring inside of him, and he can't sleep. He can't be entertained. He refuses food, and he is distraught over what has had to happen to Daniel. Look in verse 19. It says, "Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. And when he got there, he called out in anguish, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?'" Now, there's a lot of things to consider here. Okay, one, Daniel's 80 plus years old. They threw him into a lion's den. They didn't just lower him down, right? They just tossed him in, sealed up the den. So, one, should have been hurt. We got a few 80-year-olds in here that if I threw you off of that, you wouldn't just bounce right back. Okay? Some of you, if I threw you off that step, I'm not going to do that. There's no illustrations here. So there's that. He's upset. He has all the right in the world to be upset, even if he is still alive. He also was in a lion's den, so he should be dead. there's a lot here. And then all of a sudden the king yells out for him in the midst of this, in the darkness. I imagine. Look, we don't know anything about Daniel's sense of humor, but I know my sense of humor. I would have waited. Just to be like, oh. Then as soon as he turns away, I'd be like, ha, 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 gotcha. But Daniel doesn't do that. He just answers. Long live the king. All right, he's still faithful to the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. So now, again, obviously, we want God, and we believe in God's ability to keep us from these difficult places and these difficult results. And sometimes he does, like he did with Daniel, right? So like he did with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. But sometimes God displays his faithfulness by sustaining us in places that we would not have chosen, right? A hospital room or a difficult marriage or a season of grief, financial setbacks. I mean, the list goes on and on of the things that we wish God would just pass by, allow to pass by us. But that's not who he is. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is not immediately clear. And Daniel reminds us that the lion's den is not evidence that God had disappeared. It shows us that the place that you would never choose to be in life might be the place that God shows you his presence in the deepest way possible, shows you his faithfulness despite the circumstances. See, Daniel, he gets pulled from the den without a scratch on him. And then we see that those who plotted against him, plotted to get rid of him, they get thrown in the den along with their families, right? That's a pretty hard passage to read. If you want to see how gruesome the Bible can get, go to verse 24. They didn't have the same experience as Daniel. Okay, lions do what lions do. But then, and this is the power of God to work through difficult circumstances. Look at what Darius does in verse 26. He makes this incredible decree throughout the entire kingdom. He says this in verse 26. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. Now watch his description. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Now, one, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible or highlighted, do it. Put a mark on it. Bibles used to come with this little red string that was like a bookmark. Put your bookmark in that so you can go back to it and be reminded of that every day this week. Because that's powerful. And the whole series that we have walked through Daniel has this same thread running through it. That kings rise and kings fall. That this earth will give way. That empires will change. But God remains. Daniel's faithfulness has become a witness to this pagan king. And all he did was to live simply faithful. His character is what opened the door for God's greatness to be seen and recognized. And again, today, for us, people are watching all the time. They want to see how we, as Christ followers, handle the pressure of life. They're watching to see whether our faith is shown anywhere besides a Sunday morning. They notice how we respond to bad news. They see how we handle criticism. They notice how we act when we don't get our way, when things don't happen that benefit us. they see what happens when, how we respond when everybody else is making a compromise. May we be the people who stand out like Daniel, to be faithful in character throughout all of life's trials. And I want you to see something else that's so important. When we read this story, it is hard not to hear the echoes of Jesus Christ in the midst of all of these words, right? Jesus was perfectly innocent, as was Daniel. His enemies searched for accusations and ways to shut him down. And ultimately, they had to bring false witnesses to testify incorrectly about something to do with him. And he was condemned and he was executed. His lifeless body ultimately taken to a tomb where a stone was rolled across the entrance and sealed. But on the third morning, the grave and the tomb was found empty. And that's the important difference, right? Daniel escaped death. God shut the mouths of the lions for him. But Jesus had to go through it. He went through death because our sin has a penalty. And there's a debt that must be paid. Jesus came out because he's God. And he conquered sin and death. And that resurrection offers life to us if we place our faith in him. That's the key, is that you have to be willing to say yes to this incredible gift that Jesus offers. Because of what he went through, he has the power to offer it to all of us. And what we need to say is yes. So if you've never done that today, I would encourage you. Stop by. Say, I want the gift of Jesus in my life. I've been running and I've been trying to be faithful and do good things all my life, but I've failed and I keep failing miserably, and I want what Jesus is offering. I want forgiveness. I want new life. I want transformation. I want to have confidence that God has got me. I want to have confidence in where my eternity is going to be spent. If that's you, come talk to me after service. For the rest of us, for all of us, I have some next steps, some head, heart, and hands next steps, some things for us to identify and to make change in our lives. And it starts with identifying what must not change, right? What conviction or spiritual rhythm in your life has to remain even if the culture around you changes? What is it that you do right now that you need to be just fully committed to? Hold on to that. We need to know what the scripture says before pressure comes. We need to decide in our hearts what we truly believe before the crisis moments happen. And in our heart, we need to examine our dependence, to ask ourselves, when the pressure comes, what do I instinctively run to first? Because what we run to first is the thing that we depend the most on. Daniel's prayer life revealed what he had the most confidence in. He was thankful to God despite the circumstances. And so if your first thing to do is not to run to God, then you need to ask him to help you to build a deeper dependence on him before the lions appear. With our hands, here's what I want us to do, is just to establish a consistent rhythm of faithfulness. Maybe it's a small thing, like daily prayer, daily Bible reading. It doesn't have to be this gigantic, huge thing. It can start with just one simple, consistent rhythm. Whatever it is, start it by giving thanks to the God who saves you, the God who loves you, the God who is the Most High, the ruler of all things. Because pressure is going to come. Pressure is going to be faced on a day-to-day basis. Listen, I meant to mention this at the beginning of the day, but we got a lot of kids that are starting school tomorrow. And they are going to be faced with an incredible pressure to bend under what everyone else is doing. So let's make sure that we pray for them to have strength to stand in what they believe in. But for the rest of us, you're going back to work tomorrow mostly. You're going to be faced with pressure that you've been faced with for weeks and years on end. So examine your heart. What are you truly dependent upon? Wherever you find yourself in life, starting right after we walk out of these doors, maybe it's a diagnosis, maybe it's a family relationship, whatever it is, before you walk out of those doors, make sure that you are committed to the one true God, the Most High God, despite whatever might come your way, even if it's a lion's den. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you are worthy, that you are faithful. God, we thank you that you sent your Son to take our penalty for sin. Because, God, we had no way out from under that. And Lord, we thank you for this incredible picture of Daniel, who was faithful even to the point of a lion's den. God, you shut the mouths of those lions because you are powerful and you are strong. But God, sometimes in life, you show your strength by allowing difficult things to happen. And either way, we trust in you. God, we give you incredible praise for that. May we be strengthened as we leave this place in the truth of who you are. May we leave with your praise on our lips, because you are good. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.